Yo, this is the WrestleHolics Podcast. I'm Drew.
DC Hendrix.
Manny T.
Hey. Hey. Let's go.
We are welcoming our new co-host, Manny. Man, welcome to the podcast. To the WrestleHolics, my sorry.
It is a pleasure to be here and, dare I say, an honor.
Ooh, there we go. All right.
We made it.
That kinda, so this is my first time meeting Manny today.
Yeah.
As we record this. So this is... Actually, this is your friend, right, Drew?
Why you say like, hey, this show people, right?
No, I'm gonna get to that. But yeah. This, so how do y'all?
So me and Manny didn't know each other for years. So I don't even know if Manny remember how I met him. Man, think the weekend of your wedding,
first wedding,
like that week of it. So I met you by my guy Nick Carazzi, and Rusty Spur nights.
Hey,
quarter beer night.
Remember those nights?
It was 10 cents
that time.
Yeah,
I remember it was 10 cents.
Oh, yeah. I was really drunk.
We was getting lit. We all
were.
Dollar.
We all were back then.
Man, all I needed was $10 that day, and I was good for the night.
And now that's the cover.
Oh my god,
that's just getting in the door now.
I'm cool.
20.
Can't do that no more.
20 at some places.
I'm cool. If it's 20, I ain't even going. It ain't that deep.
I mean, I don't need to be there.
So so y'all knew each other for a minute then, because that's a while ago.
Yeah, bro. Like, I still got the picture on like Facebook, like the first time we was all, it's like you look back on them times, like dang, I was doing a lot. I was partying every week, man. I don't know how I had money to do this every week too.
Yeah, I don't know either because I was broke.
No, exactly.
I still found a way. Maybe it was the 10 cents.
Man, that too, man, you know maybe it was just me living with my mama. But
hey, we only got turned on Wednesdays.
That's right. Man, that's right.
We afford Wednesdays.
That's right.
Or Thursday night at 10. See, we getting way off subject.
No, it's all good, though, because, like, you know, I think it's cool. First of all, it's cool in our age, you know what I'm saying, to still be cool with people, you know, that because we, you know, we all elevating. We all life-changing.
Yeah.
You know, we're going through different stages in life, and y'all met each other a while back. So, like, it's cool to reconnect. And my first time meeting Manny, I got to give him a shout-out, quick fist bump real quick. Y'all didn't see it, but it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Rey Mysterio shirt on.
Always.
First time I meet him. So, he's a wrestleholic. What makes you a wrestleholic, man?
Man, so I've been watching wrestling since I was in diapers. So,
wow.
Roughly, as long as I can remember, my dad grew up, you know, hair metal, everything. All his friends watched wrestling, and it was always on TV, no matter what I was doing growing up. I had to look it up because I forgot what they're called. I had two brawling buddies. We're going to take it back. Early 90s.
Oh, my God.
I was that kid. And then my friends would come over, and they would bring their Sting and their Road Warriors.
Ah.
Man, we would have all kinds of Royal Rumbles.
Throwing
the brawling buddies over the stairs and everything.
Man. I'd have messed up a lot of furniture.
Oh, yeah.
My mom probably killed me right now if I told her all the stuff I had, like the flips and stuff I did off her furniture. Oh, my God.
So we had a pull-out bed in our living room, mm-hmm. and we have stairs, and it's open, and a banister.
Ooh.
So we progressed from brawling buddies to my really good friend's youngest brother was 6 years younger than us.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the knockout wrestler, and I was doing backflips off of the banister onto the pull-out bed.
Yeah, he's a real wrestleholic because you're not a real wrestleholic unless you do the wrestling moves.
Yes.
Anytime, anywhere. Hardcore match in the living room.
Oh, I thought I was Billy Kidman jumping off the couch. You know, you do the flip.
Star Blast?
Oh, man, I thought it was that dude.
Yep.
Man,
I was never able to do nothing like that. I don't have the flexibility. I don't have the flexibility to pull that off.
Lil Drew was like a little Lucha Libre back in the day.
Yeah, I could never. The best I could give you is a Swanton Bomb or a 5-star Frog Splash. That's about all you could get
for me. That was your limit, bro.
That was it for me.
You ever see someone get missile drop kicked off a trampoline?
I have not, no.
I did it.
Did it? Hey, wrestleholic in the building.
Yep.
Man.
Let's go. So, favorites?
All time.
So we talk about, you know, like our favorites of all times, like Drew's favorite of all time. Who's your favorite again?
Everybody.
I was going to say, you like a lot of
mine. At all time, I would instantly think The Rock when I
The
when
Rock.
I think of that.
Yeah. And then mine is very different from that. But I like Rob Van Dam. That's who I grew up watching ECW.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my guy. But and you can have more than one because I know I'm putting you on the spot. But who are some of yours all time?
So obviously, my all time favorite, being Hispanic, coming up in that heritage, is Rey Mysterio.
Let's go.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a character arc for me that did it.
Mm.
So do you guys remember 1999 when he had to wrestle Kevin Nash and Scott Hall for the mask?
Yep.
His character turn from there,
mm-hmm.
the whole time he had his mask off, this man tapped into his hood so hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He elevated not just that character, but he elevated his name.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's, so I was 9, 10 years old going through this, you know, life change.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing this Hispanic on TV living his life,
yeah,
in like reality, and I was like, I can connect with that. I understand what he's going through.
That's right.
And it was amazing. And I just watched it, and that's what hooked me to him. I was like, all right, I liked him before the whole Hoovy and Rey Mysterio battles. The
Hoovy,
the psychosis and Rey Mysterio. Like, I'm taking it back. WCW, yes. The cruiserweights were where it's at.
Yes.
And then I actually watched the video, and the reason he put the mask back on is because Vince told him, look, mm-hmm. we're going to respect the mask, and I'm not going to sign you unless you have the mask.
Dang.
So he actually brought Rey back to his roots when he mm-hmm. signed him to the WWE.
Dude, I actually watched that match yesterday. His first match back in SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And also, going back to the WCW match, that's like one of my most memorable matches.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I knew what at that time as a kid, I knew what that meant to him. So seeing him take the mask off, and you'd be like, oh, wait, this is kind of real. And you've seen the disappointment in his face. Even as a kid, you've seen the disappointment. Like, yo, even when he's walking out saying bye to the fans, he took the L. You'd be like, I did this for my job.
Right.
And he did great afterwards. It's like, like you said, he had a different character.
This man had horns on his head at one point in time.
Oh, my God. I didn't get that. That's the one I didn't get. I was like, okay, all right, little devil.
All right. Hey, look, they all done had the era where they're like, remember Stunning Steve Austin?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Like, they've all had rough times.
Undertaker.
They all done started. They have all had to start somewhere.
See if Ray go through that, and then that's where he got the moniker, the Giant Killer.
Because
it was without the mask that he beat the Giant for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what set up all of these big matches for him. And I mean, people can say what they want, you know, Ray's the greatest small guy, but Ray mm-hmm. is the greatest adversity driven wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime he was addressed with adversity, mm-hmm. this man met it head on, like you said, with the whole WCW kind of like putting him in a corner and be like, you're gonna have to take off the mask. He's like, all right, well, this is the business I love, so as much as I don't want to do it, I'm going to do it.
Got to do it.
Yep.
And ended up having a Hall of Fame career.
Oh,
so, yes. I mean, and still going. Still ain't even done
also,
yet.
Also, even that moment, I don't mean, I guess it's not important, but you realize how they ignore that moment of him taking off his mask.
Oh, of course.
Like, never really bring it up. I mean, every blue moon they do, but it's not really important. That really didn't put like a wrench in his career.
Yeah.
So I really like that part about it.
The first time I've heard it been brought up in the longest time was when he was on the Impulsive podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
mm-hmm.
first time in a long time that I've heard someone bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can scour the internet. They have very little pictures.
Very, very
of
little.
Him without the mask on.
Yep.
It's like they try to scrub that out. But
I've only seen it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like scrolling and seeing like videos. And even then it's like a 10-second loop.
It's
of
not
him
even
just,
like even the match. It was so pointless. It wasn't like nothing was on the line. It was just Miss Elizabeth's hair versus mm-hmm. Rey mask, and like I feel like I'm not even gonna lie. Even though this like NWO is like one of my favorite factions,
mm-hmm.
that was when at the time we were like, yo, these dudes are bullies.
Oh, they were flexing for real.
Yeah, like even when they took the mask off, I was like, man, this looks so disrespectful in a way. I said, I'm a big fan of NWO, but that was one moment where I was not like that. Like, yeah, it's kind of messed up.
It was definitely in the height of them flexing the muscle that they had and all the power that they had in WCW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it was pretty much a squash match, like you said. It was them going out there and be like, Ray, you're gonna do this, and we're gonna just keep going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to, you know, make lemonade out of lemons.
That's right. I mean, I gotta say though, Mane is off to a good start. I like this. Rey Mysterio, you can't go. I tell you what, you can't go no worse than that, man. Especially like, you know, like you said, all the adversity he's been through in his entire career, still going. He's hurt right now.
Still
dealing with it today. So I'm assuming he's one of your favorites today. So we'll go ahead and add him to your list for current favorite wrestlers.
So complete 180 current.
Ooh.
Current. I've got two of them.
Okay.
We talked earlier. I've been battling this.
Okay.
So one of my current favorite wrestlers right now I'm gonna use a name that no one knows. It's King Cuerno.
I don't.
Do it like
I'm gonna shock you.
Looking at me like
it's a wrestler from Lucha Underground.
Okay.
Santos Escobar.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And everyone, like, when I first seen him, you know, show up at NXT, I'm like, that guy looks familiar. So I flipped back. I started watching some Lucha Underground. And that's where King Cuerno, Prince Puma, you guys know who that
is? I know who that is, yeah.
That's Ricochet. Yep. You know, when I seen them three fighting, I'm like, man, I've seen this before. So I started watching old Lucha Underground. So I'm like, that's where I know it.
They need to bring that back, man. I ain't gonna lie. I kind of missed that setting.
Seeing Angelito jump from the top of an office, what seemed like 20, 30 feet, and dropkick someone off a ladder.
Yep.
Amazing.
I gotta play back some old
yeah, Santos. I didn't know that was his name, but I remember Prince Puma. Yeah, that's I remember. That's how I knew Ricochet was.
El Generico showed up in Lucha Underground too.
Lucha Underground.
You know who El Generico is?
No, negative.
Sami Zayn.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all right, Drew. We got you.
Well, I'm just over here feel like, he wasn't there.
Yeah man.
That's Generico.
One main person I remember being there is Jim Morrison, wife.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, him too, but I remember I was like, she out here wrestling a dude. Oh, she tough.
Oh, she used to get it.
Man.
So you enjoying, so you like both Santos and Rey Mysterio, so you got to be enjoying that now.
Here's the second one, though. And I talk about meeting adversity head on.
Yeah.
The other one, my other current favorite, and it took me a while to even get to this point because I couldn't stand this character, is Dominic.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. You didn't like it at first? You weren't buying in on it?
I didn't buy into any of it, even with his
dad. I was going to ask that. Are we talking with his dad or after that?
Everything. I like the whole first father-son tag team champions. Yeah, that's cool and all, but you've got him holding onto his dad's coat, following him around. Give him something. And then the way they did it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And then they paired him with the Judgment Day.
Yep.
And then just to watch him, like, fully accept that adversity and just take off.
Biggest heel in the business, just like that.
My favorite Dom moment was just the WrestleMania, that entrance.
Yep.
That entrance was like, oh, he's here.
Oh, yeah.
He is here.
Got to be an all-time greatest entrance.
Oh, man. Showed up in the paddy wagon with the Halloween Havoc.
Handcuffs.
Yeah.
Mask on.
I'd be mentioning that. The Halloween Havoc joint. Oh, it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot.
Yeah. Only one other guy pull off that Halloween Havoc outfit outside of Rey Mysterio, and Seth Rollins did.
Seth freaking Rollins. Well, wasn't freaking Rollins back then, but.
No. He was the Monday Night Messiah. Or the authority figure.
Back in the day.
He'd have had so many nicknames. I'm like, man. Yeah. Just a show.
Yep, but. You know, not to be biased or anything, but Rey Mysterio, Santos Escobar, and just...
No, ain't nothing biased about it, man. You like who you like. And those are three solid, like...
Yeah.
I am really... So, I wasn't a fan of Dom either. I wasn't a fan of him at all, honestly, before this. I just thought, all right... Because, like, I wasn't that impressed with his in-ring at that point.
At all.
Which is... I mean, he wasn't good. Like, let's face it, he wasn't good in the ring with his dad. It was just a story of father-son. But, like...
I felt like the whole time we watched him with his dad, we was really just watching him practice in the ring.
Yes, that's all it was.
Because you could watch him. So when they were doing I break things down. I don't know why, but when they did the double 619, you watch him stutter step the whole way. Like, he's so nervous doing it. And
he
like, he is not ready to be on... quote unquote the grandest stage of them all, because you can watch it's just not there. But now you watch him with people like Wesley, with Dragon Lee, with Ilya Dragunov,
Trick Williams.
He's just like so fluid now, and it's beautiful. And to pair him with what, four of today's, I would say, greatest wrestlers,
top up and coming at the very least.
Oh yeah, and I will pit, you and I had that conversation, I will pit the Judgment Day against the Bloodline. And,
oh, for sure.
And I am a day one, ride or die. No matter what happens with them, I'm a day one.
Yeah.
But as soon as the Judgment Day came and they kicked Edge out.
Yep. They took over.
It was wrapped.
It looked interesting after they took Edge out. I don't know if the Judgment Day would have lasted that long if Edge was still...
No, because the Judgment Day lasted this long because we got to watch young up and coming wrestlers blossom. Every single person in that group needed something to help catapult their career. Now, I would argue the only one that hasn't is Finn Balor, because he's like lost everything.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you the last time I've seen a win, to be quite honest, other than tag matches.
That kind of sucks when you say, man, I've lost a watch.
Which is weird, because stature-wise, prior to this, he was the biggest name, so weird. But everyone else in the group has elevated.
Is it me, or is it still weird to see him in Judgment Day, or his role in Judgment Day? Like,
I think it's only weird looking back, because he's the biggest name. So, like, and he is literally the least... Like, J.D. McDonagh is more involved right now than Finn Balor is.
And like, even with Finn Balor, like, sometimes I just watch the match, I'm just like, I don't get the point of this match he's in right now.
The Miz. Yeah. He just wrestled The Miz, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I don't ever get his match. I get if it's a tag team match. Mm-hmm. I just don't ever get his single match. It's just weird to me. Yeah. I don't know.
I think they're in the process of phasing him out. Because they're realizing it's not working.
It's not working. Yeah.
So they're phasing.
That's why they threw in R-Truth as like almost a joke.
Yes.
You know, to kind of like make fun of it a little bit.
It really is. Because if you notice, I was watching Raw, you know, watching it back before I left. They're planting little seeds to break up the Judgment Day. You got Rhea.
She's been not needed it.
Yeah. She's now questioning Damian Priest, and Damian Priest is questioning her. He looks at her and goes, are you sure you want to pick a fight with Nia Jax?
Like, really? You don't believe in mommy?
Right. And she's like, you don't need to deal with Drew McIntyre anyways. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? And then turn around, DIY beats him.
Yep.
The Miz beats Finn Balor.
Yep.
Dominic lost his belt.
Yep.
I mean, the seeds are planted. It's there. They're breaking it down slowly but surely. And then you got Lord Farquaad just destroying everything.
He do kind of look like Lord Farquaad.
No, 100%.
This is going to be great when we get video and we can just put Lord Farquaad on the screen.
I cannot wait.
That was good stuff. Yeah, it's, you know, I think they were just presented with I think it comes down to Rhea. I think Rhea just got so big.
So fast.
And they're just like, look, we got to, like, she's not even getting booed anymore. Like, they're just, like, going crazy when she comes out now. Like, she's a baby face. And even she's adapted to it. You heard her on Raw. She's like, these people know what's up. Like, she's a baby face. Right. It's happening.
Yeah, it sucks.
So, that's what they're doing right now.
She handed her belt to The Rock and said, hold this. I got to go deal with something real
quick.
And he's like, all right. What heel does that?
None. Absolutely none. Like, speaking of that, The Rock. Did you get to see that? So I know Drew, the big Rock fan over here.
He probably dissected it like 14 times already. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
That was the corniest way to introduce.
Ooh.
That. You know what it sounded like?
What's that?
It sounded like a promo that Stone Cold would do.
Mm.
Back in the Attitude Era. Tell me it didn't.
Ooh.
It sounded like something back with The Rock would have done.
Like back in the day.
I think that was more his lane. I think I'm just more confused on the timing of it. I mean, mind you, I've been wanting this to happen. It was just like, okay, so are we getting this at Royal Rumble? Hmm. What's the next one? Elimination Chamber? Or are we getting this as a WrestleMania? Because
that was before the Fatal 4-Way was announced.
Yeah. And I was just like, I mean, cool, but I don't want to see Rock and Reigns at WrestleMania now with Reigns still having a title.
Right.
I feel like that's taken away from somebody. Cody, but
not even Cody. So to set up another one. So you've got the head of the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got Roman against the proverbial head of the table, The Rock,
because
everyone knows The Rock is feeding that family,
right? Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you've got Legacy. I'm always in Randy's shadow.
Yep.
Randy wasn't there for 18 months.
Yep.
And in those 18 months, you've seen this man blossom into the most beautiful orchid you could see. And now, Daddy's back.
Mm-hmm. Head of the table.
So it's a new head of the table, you're saying, Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I think Randy... I could be wrong.
You think Randy's taking it?
Randy, out of literally nowhere,
mm-hmm.
RKO's... not Roman, because Roman won't take that bump.
No, he's not going to get the pin. No.
He's going to do it to LA Knight.
Ooh, cool.
He's got the most.
I'm cool with that.
He's got the most star power behind him right now, so he can take a loss and still have that.
Mm-hmm.
Randy will do that. Hit him out of nowhere. Pin him. And then that sets up the Elimination Chamber, where Cody goes into the Elimination Chamber, wins that, and challenges Randy Orton.
So you don't think Cody's winning the Rumble?
No, the story's always about legacy. Has always been about the legacy. Huh. The legacy of that title that he's never had, right? Huh.
Yeah.
And then the legacy that he was put into. He didn't ask to be part of that group.
Right, right.
He was put into it because who his dad was. He's second generation. That group was built off of second generation wrestlers.
It was, yeah.
So, yeah.
Ted DiBiase Jr.
Yeah, I can't. My opinions on this subject was like all the things I didn't want. I mean,
that's another way to look at it. I still like my prediction. I still think he wins back to back. I think him joining Stone Cold and Hogan and Shawn Michaels.
It would be great. I'm not going to get my hopes up because every time in the last year, I've had my hopes up.
I don't. Am I the only one that doesn't want CM Punk to win?
Oh, no. I don't want him to win.
Everyone's saying. No, we don't hold back on here.
Yeah, no. No, I see Bandy got something crazy to say. That's why we're. Speak your mind.
CM Punk is CM Punk. He carries baggage with him, whether he admits it or not. And he does admit it, but he doesn't admit all of the baggage. You can watch it in the promos that he cuts with people. People cut him deep, and he's like, I got nothing to say.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to admit those shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
So give him a title?
Right, right. Why? I hope not. Exactly.
Why?
Or even letting him head it. Like, there's just, for me, that would be very disrespectful to the rest of the locker room that's been there, been grinding. Like, people like Gunther. Like, I'd rather him win.
That's a story for a different day.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, there's people that's been grinding and, like, putting on for that company.
Yeah.
That deserve. Right. And he just comes in December and then wins the Rumble a month later.
Like, let's even compare it to WWE and AEW. It's like, yeah, AEW's doing all they can to keep their company up. But really, WWE, they all literally work together to keep this company up. And that's from Raw, NXT, SmackDown. They've all done their parts on trying to keep the brand relevant. With AEW, it does seem like you get a new wrestler there, it's all for them. Or it's like just use this example, Edge. All right, we're going to just pay attention strictly to Edge. We're going to pay attention strictly to MJF. It's like, it's not like a whole group thing on like, oh man, the product is looking great.
It's AEW is a series of books where WWE is a book. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we're going to read the MJF story today. Next week, we're going to read the Adam Copeland Edge story. The following week, we're going to read the Ricky Starks Big Bill story. Mm. Why? When we got 3 hours. Let's put them all in one show. Let's make something fun of it. Like, we seen the at one point in time, we seen the Bloodline feuding with everyone. But yeah, we seen little stories. We seen the Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch, all within the same show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're building something that everyone can watch at one time. Where, oh, I'm not going to watch this week because they're talking about this guy. I'll watch watch next week. You know, and I think that's what separates those two.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I think, and that's something that we don't have to spend a lot of time. But like the difference between WWE and AEW, where people like us obviously grew up watching WWF. So like, I don't want to say we're biased, but like it makes it. I don't know if y'all feel this way. I'm not speaking for everybody in the room, but like that, it makes it more difficult to watch AEW because of, like he just mentioned, the lack of storytelling, like long term. You know what I mean? For like different, like I can't tell you a story from AEW. Like I can't tell you one that like was longer than a month that really resonated.
And I know you,
I guess the devil most recently, but like I probably won't even remember that next year in 2025. I don't even think I remember.
It's like what you used to get on me about like loving this Roman Reigns story.
Yeah.
It's like,
bro,
I can't help it, because when the last time you seen a story this, well, first off, this long?
That's because I used to not like Roman. Yeah. You remember that. I used to, like, come on, bro. Like,
but it's like, I don't want to see it end because, well, personally, I want to see it end good. It's just like, all right, how is going? I don't want to just end it tomorrow and be like, well, that was just a waste of some years. I want to see it end all right. So yeah, if we got a couple more months, then yeah, I'll be cool with that.
So speaking, so another thing that I wanted to bring up with y'all, because you brought it up with AEW, and like, again, this is the difference. So we got, so we're WrestleHolics, so we do at least follow all different wrestling companies. Mm-hmm. So Tony Khan, who is president of AEW, sent the internet to a frenzy yesterday. Wow. Dude is crazy, man. He needs to hire PR or something. I don't know. I don't know what he needs to do.
So is he the Donald Trump of wrestling?
Of AEW. But I mean, yeah. I mean, in terms of not being able to put his phone down.
Yeah.
So he came out and I don't know if you know the history of it, Drew. I'll be simple with it. He tweeted at USA Network, which obviously has WWE programming, Monday Night Raw, NXT, whatever, and called out the fact that Jinder Mahal has lost all his recent matches and basically was saying WWE did them a favor by booking Jinder Mahal a title shot next week on Raw. So not only is he disrespecting a WWE superstar, which he would take in a heartbeat. Please. Jinder Mahal was a free agent. He'd be all over it, just like any other WWE free agent. He's all thirsty over. But, like, there's a lot wrong with that. And, obviously, him and Eric Bischoff started going back and forth. And then Jinder Mahal even replied. He ended up having to delete his tweet. I seen he deleted his tweet. I'm sure WWE didn't like him replying to Tony Khan. But
yeah, it's kind of like,
it's hard not to, though, because, like, dude be talking, like, he was talking reckless about Jinder Mahal, who is, like, let's not forget, is a former WWE champion. Like, let's be real here.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm just like, dude, all right, what have you done that has impressed us in the last, AEW's been here for 4 years, mm-hmm, 5 years? Mm-hmm. What have you done to really impress us? Except that event a couple months ago, what they did in
London?
That was impressive. I'll give them that. Yeah. For their company, that was very impressive to get that.
But see, even that was just,
you got to get them credit.
There were moments at that pay-per-view that I was like, man, that's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. But like, none of it hasn't like aged well.
No, we only thing we remember, like, is that
it was a big deal. Well, Soraya, very not nice. Paige, winning a title in front of her home crowd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she lost it like a month later. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, then that was fun while it lasted.
Right.
It's like, it's just, and he's dealing with Chris Jericho and all that stuff backstage, him harassing the female wrestlers and stuff. So it's like,
so he's back on that again?
Yeah. And it's like, bro, you got so much more to worry about than what Jinder Mahal.
And the thing is, this was light.
Yeah.
This was light out of everything. I'm like, man, you should have been saying something.
And he can't keep control of his wrestlers.
Yeah.
Jack Perry going nuts.
Fighting CM Punk backstage. And
the Elite fighting CM Punk.
The Elite.
Punk.
Oh, man.
What's the common denominator there?
Oh, no. When MJF got on the microphone that one day and just started cursing up a storm, I said, yo, this dude is funny.
The pipe bomb?
Oh, man. I was like, oh, this is real. This is real.
But this goes back to where I say it makes it hard for people like us that grew up watching WWE and, like, that's our favorite wrestling company, I assume, at least. That's our favorite company. So, like, that's what makes it hard, at least for me personally, to cross over. Like, you got this dude who is clearly a hater, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just hating. Like, there's a difference. Him and Eric Bischoff going back and forth because Eric Bischoff, obviously, WCW, they used to whoop WWF's ass.
Right.
Right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, like, Eric Bischoff, if you Tony Khan, you need to be taking advice from this man.
Yeah,
not talking trash to Eric Bischoff back and forth, especially after you brought him on AEW. He appeared on there, and it's like,
brought him on like you brought Ric
you need
Flair
to be getting advice from him. So he's going back and forth with him. He's trash talking Jinder Mahal, who was a WWE superstar for a whole nother company. Like, it's to me, it shows the difference in companies. And I mean, we don't have a lot of AEW listeners. Maybe we got a couple from the Xena episode,
right?
But I'm here to tell you, that from a WWE fan, this is what makes it hard to cross over.
It's because Eric Bischoff sees the road that AEW is traveling down, and he's like, hey, it doesn't end well. Yeah. I was on that same road. Yeah. You guys are letting the wrestlers control. You're letting the inmates control the asylum.
Yep.
You need to take control of it before it gets out of hand and it turns into another NWO black and red, black and white, purple and gold, whatever. How many factions that were running WCW? Ultimately drove it into the ground.
I never thought about this till now. It seems like this is the same exact thing, except like you said, no NWO red and black, no it's just like, damn, like how do y'all get to this point? Like, when y'all gonna start taking back a little bit of structure? Heck, even when I look back on like when Cody was there, it seemed a little bit structured out when mm-hmm. it came up to these like letting the wrestlers do their thing. Now it's just like, all right, man, what you got for me this week?
So I replied to him. I deleted it because people started reacting. So
bro, you know, stand on business.
Well, AEW fans, they get reckless, man. They start talking, and they're it's like Swifties. Look, you wouldn't say none of this to my face. So like, I just deleted the tweet, man. It was getting, you know how they get. But I replied. I was so petty. I replied to his tweet, and he reads them because he reads all of them. But I replied and was like, yeah, and you did WWE a favor by running your best superstar to the ground. So now WWE gets to take him. Talking about MJF. I know, mm-hmm. bro, they're going to miss MJF, bro.
Yeah.
That's going to be, because it's going to be huge.
I think they kind of just, like, they hope Adam Cole can get well before he comes back.
What? He ain't no MJF.
They don't, yeah, exactly.
MJF
don't
was
nothing.
Carrying that company.
Adam Cole's broken.
Yeah.
Adam Cole is broken.
Unfortunately, so is MJF because they ran into the ground. Dude can't even. He said he can't even lift his shoulder.
Dude, Adam Cole can't change a faction name to save his life. Undisputed Era. Undisputed Kingdom. Undisputed Bullet Club. Undisputed everything. Come on, man. Use a different word.
Use a different word. Undisputed ain't the only.
Right.
Hey, maybe that's his favorite word.
What?
Undisputed.
He was the Undisputed Champion, too, wasn't he?
Undisputed Checkers Champion.
So, like, do y'all think it's good? So, like, a lot of people were saying it's good. There are people actually saying that it's good for him to do that kind of stuff and to be that vocal on social media. So, like, I see on one hand how it, because people were saying, oh, so now people are gonna, you know, it's getting engagement and people are gonna, like, no. Like, in my opinion, that ain't him talking trash about a WWE superstar. Does not make me want to. That's not going to make anybody tune into AEW. Like, oh, let me see what he's going to do. Like,
it's cringeworthy for me. That'd be like a free agent type of thing. Like, oh, you talking kind of down on him. So what if I decide to go over there? Is you going to talk down about me?
Exactly.
Or how you going to act when I'm with you? Are you going to talk down behind me behind closed doors or what? Like, I don't know. Your character is everything to me. So that plays a big part of me.
I get what people are saying. But there's a way to go about it. There's a way to go about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he went about it, no. You're mm-hmm. you're the face of the company. You are the company. If you wanna approach something like that,
mm-hmm.
choose your words wisely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because those tweets, mm-hmm. we live in a technological era. Someone screenshotted that tweet.
Yep, it lives forever.
It's forever cemented now. So 20 years down the road when you're trying to get a broken Jinder Mahal to save some big up and coming Indian wrestler,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, we're gonna bring on Jinder Mahal. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Guess what's gonna pop up?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And he ain't gonna forget it.
No,
he gonna remember it.
Oh yeah,
he's waiting for this moment.
Yeah, and that's that was my problem with the whole thing, and just I don't understand. I don't think he even thought it through before he even sent out those tweets. But like,
he was shooting from the hip. He was shooting from the hip.
Yeah, he was trying. He thought, I think it all came out because obviously, like, so wrestling publications, like websites and stuff, released like yearly awards and stuff like that. It just so happened to be a day after Triple H won Booker of the Year for like all these websites.
Oh,
so I think it's been eating at this man because he won that back to back. So this would have been his three-peat. So he got bumped on out of there, like Celtics Lakers. He got bumped on out. You know what I'm saying? He got bumped on out by Triple H.
Triple H Lakers, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what I was like.
Because the Celtics was running first, and then the Lakers came in.
I don't like how you worded that, but all right.
Yeah. The Celtics was winning. Yeah, that's how it worked.
All right.
You know I know basketball. Come on now. You know I got the analogy.
All right.
But yeah, so I think that's what it came down.
The Bad Boys broke that up first, if you want to be specific.
I was going way back. I was going to the 60s.
Oh, yeah, you win then. Never mind.
Yeah,
I was born in 89, so.
Yeah, I was going back.
That was real cute.
But Triple H, I think. I mean, I think that's what did it. I think he was salty about Triple H winning these awards from these websites, and I think it was eating at him. So I think it was him trying to take a dig at Triple H, and it just so happened that Jinder Mahal caught a stray.
That's crazy.
I mean, his best wrestler wasn't even close to the top for wrestler of the year either. And Roman had 5 matches and won.
Yeah.
But that goes back to the Academy Award winning movie called The Bloodline.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
Tell me The Bloodline, if you were to make a movie of that, it wouldn't win Academy Awards.
Oh, it'd have to. There are people saying it should be nominated for Oscars.
Yeah. Hmm. I think the best supporting role is Jey Uso.
Yep. Yep. And I would say him too, just because of he had us on a limb for a long time, man. Like, we thought he was going to double cross him, and then he didn't, and then he got cool with Roman, then he double crossed him, and then Jimmy double crosses him, and then now it's just, especially now, like where Jay's at now, like it was nuts witnessing that in person, man. When I went to Raw and he comes out, he got his own music, because it was still kind of fresh, him just having his own music and stuff, and just being involved with the crowd, man. And Jay is just he need a title. Like, I know we're going to get into, in the next episode, I know we're going to, like, go into 2024 and, like, you know, make some predictions and stuff and look ahead, but there's no way you can tell me that he shouldn't win a singles title. I think he needs to be the one to dethrone Gunther, but we'll get into that in the next episode.
That or bring back or they got to at least try to bring back a title.
What title?
Which one? 24/7?
No, heck.
The European title?
Yeah. I like, what's wrong with the European title? What's wrong with the European title?
Go home.
What was wrong with that belt?
Go home, bro.
What was wrong with that belt? What was, really, please tell me what was wrong with that belt.
The European title is the equivalent to the 24/7 title.
Yeah,
no, it's
not. I'm almost. Probably the hardcore title is more.
Crash Holly
more similar.
Of the European title.
Oh, man. What was nothing?
Yeah,
he's
too big for the
European
title.
Okay, just change the name of it or something.
Spike
Dudley. Bring the North American title to Raw or SmackDown.
It says Spike Dudley. Yeah, I don't think the European Championship was that bad.
Those level of wrestlers, though, is what held that the European title.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, I think Jay is way above.
I think, like you said, for Gunther to get if and when Roman wins at WrestleMania and keeps the title.
Yeah.
Gunther losing to Jay, granted it's Jay, but Gunther losing to Jay and Jay becoming the Intercontinental title is what's going to put Gunther on the path to dethrone Roman. I'm saying it now.
Mm-hmm. That's
to
right.
Dethrone Roman.
So that's going to be on the next episode.
Okay.
Cuz we going to get into that. We got some bold predictions to make. Mm-hmm. 2024 as we look ahead. I know y'all ready for that. Next week when we release that. So y'all got to be ready for that. But to wrap things up, though, the big topic today, The Rock, when does he take and or will he take over the head of the table?
Man, you want to go first or should I go?
You be non-biased, though.
All right. No,
we know who your favorite wrestler is.
I think Roman still wins this match. I think that's more just like, hey, Rock done did all he did over these years. Even like with John Cena coming back, even with Stone Cold coming back, like we know your resume. You really don't have nothing to prove to us. But I think a win would be way more important for Roman. And that, I mean, this damn near one of the things he's like, all right, that's it. Who else you got to fight? Who else you got to prove?
You're running out of people.
And then also this Fatal 4-Way is just like
they both running out of people.
Yeah, yeah, facts. So even I think I hit up Dedrick the other day, like, yo, Roman finally got his Fatal 4-Way. So we're gonna see with this. If he lose the belt, then
so does that complete the cycle? Singles, tag team, triple threat, and a Fatal 4-Way.
That's
right?
Everything. Yeah.
So he's a triple crown, and he'll hit for the cycle. To, you know, analogy baseball. He will officially hit for the cycle.
Yep. Or will he?
Ooh.
Or will he?
We gonna see. Man, I definitely appreciate everybody listening to the WrestleHolics podcast. Manny, appreciate you joining the WrestleHolic family. DC, we're going to talk about your contracts later.
What?
Yeah, drop the bomb on them right there. Live.
My contract.
No, but I definitely appreciate y'all, man.
Cut.
Shout out to our sponsorship, T&D Motorsports, also MVP Bowling Alley. Shout out to the Kaida team out there. Dang, who else? Oh, yeah, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, well, X, TikTok, Make sure to listen to us on Spotify. Also listen to us on 95.7 FM. Just making sure.
Let's go.
Other than that, man, you guys got anything else to say?
Yeah, just be sure to follow us on all social media, or you can check out, I still do a lot of writing. Check out my stuff at dailyddt.com, or you can just follow us on social media. Try to share them a little bit on there as well. You know, we got some interviews coming up, so be sure to follow us on social media and everything. Manny, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was, I can't wait. This is going to be fun.
Dope. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well, bro. I definitely appreciate you. You know, so this is the Wrestle Hollis Podcast, and we'll get back with y'all.